Grace, greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 16th of January. I'm Paul White. It's a Saturday. That means we're going to introduce to you what you can expect on our Sunday drop for the weekly sermon. We do this every week, and I like to tell you about it on Saturday. It gives me my one chance to really introduce the sermon to the audience. And it's going to be the third and final sermon from our December 2020 trip to Decatur, Alabama. Now, if you watch the video version of this, the stage is different than the first two sermons. This one happened in their youth facility. They've got a really impressive youth facility they've been working on for quite some time. They call it The Current. And so we ministered on their stage. It's a little dark for our lighting purposes, but I thought it was a good little sermon, so I wanted to air it. So the video version is The Current at Decatur, Alabama, but that's actually just the youth ministry building of the Grace River Community Church, which is where we go every year. This was the Sunday night sermon. Now, of course, on audio, you're not going to need to know all that information if you listen audio only. Of course, you can have either version. We have them both at paulwhiteministries.com. The video version available at YouTube, PWM, and then the audio right here, wherever you're listening to the podcast, you can listen to the audio version of a sermon titled The Things Jesus Couldn't Say. Now, I titled it that as a little bit of a clickbait title. I don't list a bunch of stuff Jesus can't say, but I deal with what on the surface appears to be a contradiction from the lips of Jesus in back-to-back chapters. A contradiction, we'll explain that in the sermon, what we're talking about, but we use John 15 and John 16. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a short sermon, 30 to 33 minutes, something like that. Pretty easy to follow along. We don't do a lot of text. We do a little bit from John 15, a little bit more from John 16, and then three or four verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I erroneously, for those of you who will listen in on the audio version, I erroneously tell the crowd to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm never corrected because they weren't using a screen for my text, and most people have relied on the screen so much they don't bring their Bibles. I don't know if anybody was thrown off there. I was thrown off when I edited it. It's not 1 Corinthians 1. It's 1 Corinthians 2. We get it right on the screen, but we don't get it right on the audio. So that will give you a heads up if you're listening, trying to follow along with the text. I think you'll enjoy this sermon. The Things Jesus Couldn't Say. Check it out tomorrow. All right, today, Isaiah chapter 54. I'm going to sort of wrap this one up. We've been in Isaiah chapter 54 for a few days now, this great perpetual covenant of peace chapter, this post-Calvary chapter of Isaiah 53. As I conclude this today, I want to address something. A very good question came in through the DDP email address. That's ddp@paulwhiteministries.com. That's for our podcast listeners who listen in and have questions. Someone wrote me this last week and asked in regards to the fact that our Jewish friends don't read Isaiah 53. It's never on the daily reading for the for Jewish temple, because it's such a blatantly Calvary chapter. Why don't they feel the same way about Psalm 22? Now, I know that doesn't have a lot to do with Isaiah 54, but I wanted to address it. And the reason that I have found that Judaism doesn't feel the same way about Psalm 22, which is a pretty blatant chapter in regards to Jesus, is they've learned to discount it based upon the fact that they think the translators messed something up. In Psalm 22, I think it's verse 16, 17, where it says that the enemy surrounds him and they pierce my hands and my feet. Our Jewish friends say that that's a mistranslation out of the Hebrew, that the word pierced is the same as the word a lion, L-I-O-N, and that in every other passage in the Old Testament, it's translated as lion. And they think that it was changed by the translators to look more like Jesus. And that sort of allows a lot of Jewish scholars to dismiss in turn the other verses in that chapter that look like they're referring to Jesus, such as they divided his coats among them and those things. My counter to that would be, I don't think that the New Testament writers were using Hebrew source material. I think they were using Greek source material. And in the Greek, it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. So, and the Greek was written before Christ. The Septuagint was written before Christ. So I all I can say in response to why they don't feel the same way about Psalm 22 as they feel about Isaiah 53 is, I think they've learned to dismiss the argument of Psalm 22 because they have dismissed the English translation. But I think the argument should be much deeper than that. And then Psalm 22 should be taken into greater consideration. That's my best way of answering that. I did actually answer that one via email, but then after I answered, I thought, might be a good one for the broader audience. I don't have a lot today from Isaiah 54, so I thought it was timely to drop that answer in today and then also drop the announcement about the sermon in today. And that way I could just kind of dwindle it down to this one moment. Verse 13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Sometimes when we get into a literalist thinking way of thinking when we read the Bible, which I think is dangerous to get too literal, we start to think that this must be prophetic about an era in the future in which the Lord is the teacher. Jesus actually quotes this. In John chapter 6, after he's fed the 5,000, he tells them he's the bread that come down from heaven. He says in John chapter 6, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So Jesus is quoting Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, as being fulfilled in his day. When you come to Jesus, you're being taught by God. If you took Isaiah 54 in the literal sense, then someday the Lord God himself has to teach little children. You go, well, that'll happen someday in the future. But that's not how Jesus interpreted it, and maybe it's not how we ought to interpret it. Admittedly, Jesus is also quoting a little bit from Jeremiah 31 there, where in Jeremiah 31, 34, it says, No more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. But I think the direct quote is that Isaiah 54, 13, Jesus quoting it in his day. And that means that the Lord teaches us through the lips of Jesus. We will move out of 54 tomorrow. We will go into 55 to a fantastic verse about God's ways being better than our ways. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.